Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's an honor to be here. I count the New Covenant Church as home. Jack and Trish are just about some of my best friends. Grubby and I, when we get together, we pick up the conversation where we left off. Even if a half a year goes by, we know exactly where we ended, and we just carry on. Kent and I and Mary Alice and the leaders of Battelle attended the WEC Intercom, the tri-annual meeting of WEC leaders in the world in Stuttgart, Germany. And 300 WEC leaders gathered together. I was the second oldest at the conference. There's only one other WECer that was a year older than me, and he had come out of retirement temporarily for a year to help the sending base in New Zealand. So I'm actually the oldest serving WEC missionary now in the world. And I'll be 72 in August. I know I look much younger, I understand that. But I'm really old. And I'm still the one-handed push-up champion of Battelle. 30 one-handed push-ups. And hallelujah. I was tied in Russia last summer, but he wasn't a WECer, he was the national wrestling champion of Russia. 23 years old, so I don't feel too bad. The day before yesterday, we had a group of the Lehigh wrestlers together. Mike Caruso joined the Betas. We had Ron Reese, 191 pounds, Del Bloom, 167 pounds, Tom Muir, 152 pounds, me at 145 pounds, Billy Sunder, 137 pounds, and Mike Caruso, 123 pounds in a picture. So, anyhow, so now that's my past glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for speaking to us. Take your word, Lord. Take some of the stories that I will tell. Bless them to our hearts. And communicate to us, Lord, what it is to be a pioneer. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Now, Grubby, when he asked me to speak, he said, please speak about being a pioneer. And talk about pioneer ministries. And the question I have is, you know, what should I say? You know, what is a pioneer? And what do pioneers do? Well, pioneers, they go out, they leave their settled life, they take a piece of their life, their family, and a piece of their civilization with them, and then they tame a wilderness and they build a new life, a home for their families. They build a new life as a pioneer. Now, what is the biblical concept of being a pioneer? That's the traditional American idea. You go into the wilderness and you cut the wilderness down, or you tame it, you build a life, you build a farm, and eventually you build a village and a town and a city. What is the biblical version of being a pioneer? In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18, also in Matthew 28, the biblical vision of pioneers found in the Great Commission. And basically, the Great Commission says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and plant the kingdom of God. Go and beget churches and raise up the kingdom of God. Be a pioneer. Pioneers are sent into the world. The Greek word for world is cosmos. They're sent into the cosmos. The definition is it's the other evil satanic disorder, the rival order to the kingdom of God that rejects and stands against God's holy order and his kingdom. So pioneers are sent out into the cosmos, into a wilderness, an evil wilderness that has rejected in rebellion the authority and the kingdom of God, and we are to displace that other rival evil order and reestablish God's kingdom. That's what missionaries do. They're sent to build a new civilization out of the wilderness and to displace the cosmos, to preach the gospel, to rescue lost souls, to impart divine life through the word of God, and to be God's instruments to build a new living house of living stones. And in short, they're called to build the church. Pioneers are sent to build the church in the world. Now, Mary and I, my dear wife Mary, went to be with the Lord in 2012. But Mary and I and our family, we were called as pioneers over 45 years ago. We answered the call, and we have Margaret Fever sitting here today. Doug and Margaret's fever drove us to the airport when we left WEC in 1983 to go to Spain to start Patel. Our young son Timothy threw his sneaker out the window onto the highway, and we arrived in Spain with one sneaker. And Margaret mailed us a new set of sneakers, so she's part of our initial pioneer venture into Spain. Now, we left 45 years ago for the mission field. It was mentioned that we went first to Mexico in 1978 before we were independent missionaries. We left Mexico and joined WEC in 1982. In 1983, we arrived in Spain. Now, let's look at the process of God calling and empowering and sending pioneers into the world to build the house of God. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3, this tells the story of Paul and Barnabas. I'll just read a part of those verses. It says, "The church in Antioch ministered unto the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul, Paul, for the work of which I've called them, that having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, sent them away." Pioneers, missionaries, first of all, are called by God, called by the Holy Spirit. And they are then sent by God through the church into the cosmos to plant and build the kingdom of God. Mary and I, and our family, we're sent ones, called ones. Kent and Mary Alice, you know, part of this fellowship. They're sent ones. They were called by God and they were sent by you to plant the church in the world. Now, in verse 4, Acts 13, verse 4, the scripture continues and says, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went." Paul was a sent one, a missionary, and he was sent. Now, in my personal life, I mentioned that we went out first as independent missionaries in 1978. Mary and I studied at Elam Bible Institute. I studied at Lehigh University, then Cambridge University, then Harvard University, and then when we were saved and called, we went to Elam for 3 years to prepare. In 1978, we left America from Elam, and we went to Mexico to preach in the mountains of southern Mexico. We had to learn Spanish, and it was recommended that we go to the University of the Americas in Cholula, Puebla. And we went there, which is a bilingual elite university for very wealthy people. And so when we registered to study Spanish, they looked at my credentials and they said, "We desperately need a professor to teach microeconomics and the theory of money and banking. Can you do that?" And I said, "Yes." They said, "Well," and they offered me a professorship right on the spot. And for 2 semesters, I taught microeconomics and theory of money and banking. Last night at the Hotel Bethlehem, our speaker was Dr. Rich Aronson. Does anybody know Dr. Rich Aronson from Lehigh? He was a professor for 50 years at Lehigh. He's taught more students than any other professor in Lehigh's history. I took the theory of money and banking with him, and when I got to Mexico, I had his textbook to teach to the Mexicans. So I thanked him last night for preparing me for the mission field. So we began to teach. I was a missionary called, sent by the Holy Spirit, arrived there, and then I was offered a professorship at the University of the Americas, and we began to study Spanish and teach in English, and they made a very big mistake letting us into the university because we began to win the faculty and staff and students to Christ. And what happened was we began to win, you know, some of the chairmen of the department and students. And what was born there in those 4 years is called today Amistad Cristiana de Pueblo. Our group that started now has 120 churches in Mexico. The main group has 6,000 members, so, you know, that started right in our home. And there are 11 other churches in Puebla and over, you know, 120 up to 200, some of us separated. So we were called, sent by God, and God began an amazing work in Mexico. In 1982, Wayne Myers from Christ for the Nations, Kent studied at Christ for the Nations. I was returning a film to him. He is 99 years old and still preaching the gospel in Mexico. He is the most famous missionary, American missionary in Latin America. I was in his living room and he said, "What are you doing wasting your time in Mexico? There are 3,000 American missionaries here. My son and daughter have left for Spain. Only 1 out of 1,000 Spaniards is an evangelical Christian." God put a burden in my heart. We moved to prepare to go to Mexico. I go to Spain, went to WEC International, joined WEC. We arrived in Spain in 1983, and we were initially ministering among the university students of the Universidad Complutense of Madrid and the Universidad de Alcalá, one of the oldest universities in the world. And after about a year, not a single person was converted. No one had any interest in the gospel among the Spanish elite. But the poor and the outcasts and the drug addicts and the criminals began to take our literature, began to inquire. And Betel was born in our living room. And Lindsay McKinsey's home became our first residence for men. And so that was how we began in Spain. Now, what am I doing today? I'm not preaching so much from the scriptures, but I'm reporting back to you because we are called of God by the Holy Spirit, sent out by the church. And then it says that Paul came back and he reported at all the great things God had done. So I'm telling you what has happened in the last 45 years, giving account to the people that have empowered us and sent us out. Now, I'm here today to really just thank you for sending us. Our home church is the Myrtle Grove Presbyterian Church of Wilmington, North Carolina. The New Covenant Church has been with us, standing with us since 1983. And also you sent us Kent and Mary Alice, who one day will be the international directors after me. They're designated. You know, the New Covenant will be, and you've sent many other people to us. So I'd like to just thank you for sending us, for supporting us, helping us. And I want to tell you some of the great things that God has done because of your faithfulness to stand with us today. Many of you regularly receive our newsletter, and you pray for us, you communicate to us. Betel means Bethel. It's a Spanish form of the house of God. You don't pronounce the H in Spanish. And if I begin to tell the Betel story, it sounds like I'm boasting at times. Betel has registered not 100,000, but 250,000 people. A 250,000 people have lived in our residences in the last 35 years, which is astounding. 250,000 people have actually come into Betel and live with us. And today, Betel has 100 communities in 22 nations, not 24, 22 nations, 22 provinces, and over 50 churches. Every Betel community is an embryonic church. Some of our churches are very significant. We formed the AEMC, the Assemblies of WEC in the world. Missiologists have started to actually write about Betel. It's a historic move of God, much like the Salvation Army in the 19th century, the early 20th century. And so it's a glorious story. And if there's any glory, it belongs to God, it belongs to the Betelitos. But not all of Betel's story is really pure victory and revival. I remember I was invited to speak in Toronto at Dr. Winston Noon's church, his famous church, during the Toronto outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Dr. Noon's is the president of the Elam Churches of Canada. He's with the Lord now. And it was a great honor. And one of my heroes, one of the great Pentecostal preachers of Canada, invited me to speak in his church. So I told the Betel story to them. And after the morning meeting, he came up to me and said, "Brother Elliot, I feel so condemned by your ministry." I said, "Oh no, what have I done? Forgive me." He says, No. "God's done so much through Betel and nothing through me." I said, "Dr. Noons, you're my hero. Forgive me if I was boasting." He says, No, it's all right." And I said, "This is terrible. Tonight I'm going to tell about all the bad things that happened." And so I got up in the evening And I told him, you know, about burning the buildings down and rolling the vans off the cliff and the church dying of AIDS. And the Tepper family has been robbed 30 times personally in 35 years. That kind of times Patel has been robbed. You know, and I told all the terrible things. And then Dr. Nunes came up to me. He said, "Brother Elliot," he said, "this morning it was like the second coming of Christ. But tonight it was like the Great Tribulation." Now, the truth is, being a pioneer and taking the gospel to the world, both things happen. It's really tough to stick on the mission field. It's really tough to preach the gospel in hostile places. And it's also glorious. You know, there are wonderful successes, and there's a very steep price to pay. About two decades ago, our home church in North Carolina, they gave us the tithe of their building fund, and we bought a property in North Africa. Actually, we bought the highest estate on top of one of the pillars of Hercules, El Acho in Ceuta. Ceuta is an enclave of Spain on the African coast. Like Gibraltar is an enclave of Great Britain on the Spanish coast. Spain has the other side, the two pillars of Hercules. And it was a ruin. We rebuilt it. And Jack Grubby came to visit us. And we crossed the straits and the ferry, ministered to the Patel community, spent the night there. And then we have a three-story tower on top of the house that goes up. And you can see across the Mediterranean, Spain and the Spanish peninsula, Gibraltar. You can see the Mediterranean to the east. You can see the Atlantic to the west. And we're only 200 yards from Morocco. It's a magnificent view, right under the guns of the Spanish army. And Grubby was looking at that great view with me. And then the Betelitos left our house, went out with their buckets of tools to work during the day and open the stores. And Grubby said, "You know, Patel is like the ancient Franciscans." And I thought, "That's right. We're godly, mystical." I says, "You're just a bunch of jerks like them who don't know your right hand from your left hand, trying to eke out a living." But not all of being a pioneer is glory, and not all the people that are employed by God to do it are great, godly, gifted, mystical people. Some of them are just jerks, like the Betelitos. The head of the Full Gospel, about the same time, he came up and he said, "Brother Elliot," he said, Trevor Jonas, is an Englishman, businessman. He said, "I know why Patel works." He said, "Because you're so stupid that you don't know this thing won't work. You can't take drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes, people dying of AIDS, and build churches and businesses and communities. This will not work. But you don't understand that. I understand that as a bit, but you don't, so it works for you." Yeah, now, Paul, the apostle, I'm going to preach from the gospel. I'm just telling you stories this morning. Paul noted in the gospels, in the early Christian apostolic church, the same quality in his pioneers. If you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, Paul describes the first pioneers, the first great figures that were preaching the gospel, establishing the apostolic church in the first century. And he said, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many of you are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are not. To put to shame the things of the world, to put to shame the things that are not. He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are mighty. See, Betel is very weak. Patel is very fragile. The people that God has chosen to, this quarter of a million people that have come through Patel, that have planted churches and communities and income-generating projects all over the world, are the weak, rejected vessels that God has chosen to shame the wise. Now, and then Paul said, and he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. I remember, we now have 140 plus ordained pastors in Betel. 350 full-time staff people, almost all ex-Betelitos, overseeing a community of 2,400 people living in community, and the 50 churches. In the first decade of Betel's history, I took our first five Betel pastors, all ex-criminals from San Blas, you know, like the Nicky Cruises of their city, with me to a meeting of the pastors of the Evangelical Alliance of Madrid in the Talia Church. They wouldn't let our pastors in. They said, I could come in, but this is for real pastors, for ordained pastors, not for Betelitos. It was humiliating. We had to leave the conference because we weren't considered real pastors. This, in 2017, the Protestant churches of the world celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And you know what? Where they held the gathering for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation in Spain? All the Protestant churches had to come and ask to use Betel's facility to celebrate the 500th anniversary because we have the largest church facility in Spain. We seat 1,250 people, more than the Cathedral of Madrid. And we have, you know, works 22 provinces of Spain, all over the world. So those five rejected pastors, three decades later, hosted the Protestant Church of Spain. To God be the glory. And why? And why? Because God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. That is one of the principles that you'll see in Pioneer Ministries. Pioneers go out into a wilderness with nothing, and they build great cities by faith. Now, Betel is a mystery, and it's a mystery within many mysteries. There is another mystery at work in Betel and at work in Pioneers. In the 1990s, Dutch National Television came to Betel and asked if they could do a documentary on Betel. And they made a documentary called Half the Church Has AIDS. Half the Church Has AIDS. Virtually every single Betelito from the first generation has died of AIDS. And it's gone. There are only a few survivors. Now with the new medications, people are surviving. They can be HIV positive and live. But in the 1980s and the 1990s, that was not possible. And my son Jonathan has written a number of books. He's a very famous author. Best-selling books in the New York Times, bestseller list. But one of his autobiography, which will come out shortly, is called Shooting Up in San Blas. And Shooting Up in San Blas, it's a play on words. It's like shooting up fast, like growing fast, and it's injecting, shooting up in San Blas. And he means, in one chapter, he says, when my 21st friend died of AIDS, I stopped counting anymore. When my 21st friend died of AIDS, I stopped counting anymore. Jonathan was a Rhodes Scholar, and he's now the president of Rhodes Scholars of Great Britain. He grew up among the AIDS addicts in the slums of San Blas. Now, what is that mystery? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, the Apostle Paul said this. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. Death is working in us and life in you. All real divine life comes out of death. Jesus died on the cross to bring life to the human race, to rescue Adam, to redeem Adam from his sins. And it's his death working in Christ that work life in us. And that principle works. If there is no suffering in the will of God, by the supported by the grace of God, there will be little life produced. Betel, and I would add the Tepers, we haven't experienced pure victory. And people, they like to congratulate you and thank you and admire you for the great things God's done, but they don't often understand the cost that's behind the life that's been produced. You know, neither the Tepers or the Martins or any of the Betelitos are super saints or super mystics. We have not been immune to the tragedies of life. And is anyone here immune to the tragedies of life? Everyone has their story. It's how you react, how you die in Christ, that life may be produced in others. That is the key. If you're going to be a great pioneer, if you're going to do a work for God, either in your family or in your city or as a sent one, as a missionary, death has to work in you that life may work in others. Now, there's yet another mystery of being, if you're going to be a pioneer. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 2 through 5, these are the last words of the beloved of God, of King David. The last words, David was, he was the greatest, one of the greatest poets in human history. Probably his psalms, those psalms that he wrote, are the most read poems in all of human literature. That little shepherd boy, he was a universal polymath genius in so many dimensions. And he became the beloved of God, a great king. But he was honest and he was imperfect, and yet God blessed and used him. He said this, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, and he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, like the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house is not so with God. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, being an example of holiness and goodness and righteousness, although my own house is not like that. I'm not like that. Yet he's made me, nevertheless, yet he's made me with me an everlasting covenant and ordered all things. Nevertheless," Betelitos are imperfect. I am imperfect. You're imperfect. We're all imperfect. But we, by the grace of God, can be used by God. He can take our imperfections and still do the work of God. It's just a matter of being honest. Now, I'm telling you stories this morning. I'm not really preaching. But I was thinking about the imperfection in our early leaders in Betel. And I thought some of our early great, you know, they're heroes now. They're legends. Some of the early Betelitos are legends. But I'm looking at their early lives and their beginning in the ministry. They were even almost sinful at times, and very unjust at times. They didn't know how to be holy because they had come right out of the world. And when they began to take the first steps of faith to serve God, to build the church, many unusual things happened. I think of two or three of the pioneers. Oscar Matissans, he raised up Betel of Portugal. I would count him today to be the best preacher in Betel, the best teacher. I take notes when Oscar preaches. He only has 8 years of education, but he is so profound, so deep, so effective. He's an extraordinary leader. He has some of the most blessed communities and blessed Betel businesses. And he's a wonder. He returned from Betel, Portugal. His wife was dying of AIDS and hepatitis C. He returned to Spain for a liver transplant. She survived the liver transplant and has a 10-year-old son now after the liver transplant, and the new medication arrived in time to save her life. But he's definitely one of the great Betel figures, leaders, preachers we have. But he began his time in Betel by stealing all our calendars. He was the younger brother of Juan Carlos Matesanz, and we One day, his first week he was there, he stole all the Battelle counters and went out and sold them on the street. And then when he almost died of an overdose, he came back to us and he became the great Oscar Matesanz that we have today. He that rules over the house of God must be just, although my house is not so with God. Nevertheless, he's made a sure covenant with me. Does that give you hope? Gives you hope. His brother Juan Carlos, he has tattoos that are so bad he cannot go to the beach. He's even had to tattoo some clothing items over certain of his tattoos to actually be seen publicly. And he founded Battelle of France. He's a great, he has 8 years of education. He speaks French, Spanish. He's a scholar of the French mystics. And when he came to me, he said, I want to start Battelle of France. Would you send me? I said, well, Carlos, you have AIDS. Your wife has AIDS. Your little daughter has AIDS. You're not. We had over 20 children die of AIDS who were born to parents with AIDS. And we even prohibited couples with AIDS from marrying in the early years because we were being called irresponsible, allowing them to give birth to children that were dying. Now that you can have a child if you're HIV positive and they can survive. But I said, Juan Carlos, you know, you're very sick, your wife is very sick, your young little daughter is very sick. He said, please let us go. I promise not to die in France. I'll come back to Spain to die. If you let me go, I promise to come back to Spain to die. We let him go and he raised up Battelle of Marseille. Amazing work for God. But Juan Carlos, even, you know, I remember he was in charge of our mechanic shop. And we had a tow truck and people would donate old cars to us and we would junk them, you know, and take them to scrap yards. And someone called and it was donated to us an old Mercedes. And he took the Battelle tow truck and went and picked it up, took it to our junkyard. And then the next day they called, when are you coming to pick up our Mercedes? And we said, well, we picked it up. We picked up the neighbor's Mercedes. Now, he didn't tell me that for a couple years. I didn't find out. If I had known, you know, it's astounding. You know, these people are so imperfect that God has called to build the church of God. You know, our early Battelle vans were all very old, really, really old. We finally bought a new one, and it was, you know, the glory of Battelle, new van. We had a house on top of the hill in Loeches in the Madrid area, with a pretty new roof on it. And he drove up with a new van, left it in front of the house. It was on a great hill. You know, we had a great hill and a cliff and a precipice. And left the motor running and went in the house to get some tools. He didn't put the parking brake on. And it vibrated off the cliff and fell 300 feet and destroyed the van. Thank God there was nobody sleeping inside the van. And he's one of our great heroes of Battelle, great apostolic pioneer. That he that ruleth over the house of God must be just, you know, but my house is not so. Nevertheless, nevertheless, God has made a sure covenant with me. Now, I have this question. What if we did not have the grace and love and patience to cover Oscar and Juan Carlos's and other Betelitos' sins like that? What if any of us didn't have the grace and patience to cover our own sins and those around us? The kingdom of God would never be built. Now, I'm in no way approving sin, but that is there's a great mystery here. And let me just say this in closing, because this is really a report today. You do not need to be perfect to become a pioneer. You do not need to be perfect to preach the gospel. You need to be called. You need to obey the call. You need to be sent. And you need to be willing to go and do the will of God, nothing more. And you also need to let death work in you that life might be produced in others. To suffer for Christ in the will of God. You know, God will take every sacrifice that you make. You know, my oldest son was the director of Patel of America, a WEC missionary. He's had to leave the field because his second son is autistic. And he couldn't remain on the field, needed special attention. You know, and I just spent a week with them. When I think of the grace and the patience that a parent needs to take care of an autistic child, lovable, intelligent, high-functioning, but very unpredictable, death works in us, but life in others. You will all be challenged in different ways. And we need to, you need to let your new life in Christ become one of the living stones in the house of God built upon Christ and the apostles. Every Battelle community is an embryonic church, and it's built on the living stones that we send from one community to another community, and those stones build upon Christ, the apostles, the church that's around them, and invite other people to come in to receive Christ, to become living stones, to be built upon living stones. Now, I put here, just at the close, said, I believe that today, listening here, there are future called ones and sent ones, future pioneers who will go into the world, into the cosmos, that alternative, rival, rebellious kingdom that dominates this world, into the wilderness to build the house and the temple of the living God. That's what we're doing. Patel of India in the last 18 years has raised up 15 cities, 25 cities in Asia, three or four in Nepal, three or four in Mongolia. Keith and I will be leaving in the next few days, next week, for Patel of Mongolia to celebrate our 18th anniversary in Mongolia. Patel of Mongolia. And in July, we travel to Vietnam, to Hanoi, to speak at the IMMM conference, the WEC missionary conference, where WEC is taking indigenous Asians to be missionaries in Asia rather than sending Europeans and Americans, Australians, and to also to talk to government officials in Hanoi that we might begin the first Patel community in Vietnam. Pray for me, for my health. Pray for Kent and Mary Alice. Kent and Mary Alice, I believe, may still be in South Africa, or I don't know if they've returned, but we're having to travel around all over the world to supervise the Patel communities, to plant new communities. Pray for our new initiative that will open soon in the Philippines. Lindsay and Mike McKenzie will take workers from Patel of Australia to open up Patel of the Philippines. You can speak English in the Philippines. We'll be sending Betelitos from Patel of Britain and Patel of India. Pray also for our new initiatives in Brazil and our future work in Bolivia. And pray for Bulgaria and for Eastern Europe, some of the various people that are... Pray for Andalusia. We have some very poor Batels that are struggling economically. And we are one people, one presbytery, one purse, and we help one another in Betel. And we have quite a number of centers that really are going through. We can't imagine. Try to imagine Betel of the Ukraine, where someone breaks in and steals all the food in your house. What kind of thieves break in to steal potatoes and onions? You know, some countries are so incredibly poor. Or Bulgaria. You know, pray for Betel in the world. Pray for us. May the Lord bless you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.